Good evening, everyone. This is Donna Fox. We're going to try this again. You are listening to Akashic Wisdom, the show that we talk about the Akashic Records and how it can help your life, how it can heal your life. We also have, I just wanted to say hello to my Twitter friends, and I just wanted to say that if you are listening, I hope you definitely will follow me on Twitter and do that. I would love to have you follow me and let me know who you are, and I can follow you. So we can all do that together. So, yeah, so that's what I just want to, every time I do a show, I found that if I go ahead and put something up on Twitter, you know, at least it lets people know what I'm doing and that kind of thing. So you can call in if you're not listening from the bbsradio.com website. You can, and don't have this number, you can call worldwide in and talk to me personally tonight. We're going to be on the air for an hour. And it's 888-815-9756. And I've got some questions that people email me. You can certainly do that, too. I'm sitting in front of my computer, and you can email me at any time. And that email address is info, I-N-F-O, at Akashic Wisdom. That's AKASHICWISDOM.com, akashicwisdom.com, info@akashicwisdom.com. So I take questions by you calling in, and we take questions by your email. And so to start off, we're going to take a question from email. And I have some pretty loyal listeners out there, and they send in questions. And this one is quite profound because the question that came forward is a question that is, I think, personal to this person, but it's also a general question for us as a community, as the human community. And the question is how does one become grief-free? And what the comment has been is that there seems to have been an issue of grief from the time this person was small. And she wants to know the origin of her grief, because grief, as she says, leads to depression. But so I went into the records, and I asked the record keepers, now just for, again, if you've not listened in before, I access the Akashic Records through a specific sacred prayer. And the prayer itself is a vibrational key that shifts the energy to make the information accessible. And if you'd like more information on that, you can actually go to the information on the show there on the BBS website. If you look at Donna Fox or Akashic Wisdom, you can go in there and get all the information you need about how I access the Akashic Records and my work on the Akasha. So feel free to do that while I'm talking, if you're by your computer. And if you have any other questions, please call me or you can email me. And if you want to call me privately, you can do that at 216-691-1233, but not right now, because I won't be able to answer the phone, but you could call and leave a message, and I'll call you back. Anyway, so let's go back to this question. And the question is about what is grief and how do we release it? And what the record keepers really were, it's an important question, because, excuse me, sorry. Had to take some water there. So grief is something that we carry around with us, and we operate from it. And so I'm going to just begin to just kind of read to you what record keeper said. And as I'm reading it, I'm going to give you some more information about it. But what the record keeper said about grief is grief is a combination of helplessness, anger, sadness, and feeling out of control to change the event or events or the loss. Grief creates a feeling of being lost, empty, and hopeless. Grief brings out questions such as why or why me? Questions that have no quality answer when the pain of the loss is present. We grieve for lost opportunities, for what right choices, what appeared to be right choices turned out to be wrong choices. For lost years of not being true to ourselves, for feeling we have not put ourselves first, and then feeling guilty if we have. Grief begins when we feel the guilt of disappointing our mother or father or the authority figures in our lives, and also by disappointing ourselves, as well as how when our parents disappoint us, we feel a great grief, an uncertainty, a feeling of being lost because we don't know who else to turn to, and that creates a lot of grief within us. Grief, like fear, is based in lack. What we don't have and can never achieve or have back. So how do we neutralize our grief? That's the question that I ask the record keepers. In other words, like sometimes it's not enough to just identify it. It's like we all know what we're feeling. And so the record keepers began to give me a process that I'm going to share with you. The record keeper said, first we have to list our griefs, our things that we grieve. So, and this, what this means is, as many times we're sad and we don't know why we're sad, or we have this deep grief within us and we're not sure where it comes from. And so by getting quiet and by moving into that stillness, if we just begin to list what makes us feel sad, I promise you'll come out on the other end with a lightness here, but first you have to list it. You have to list the areas that you feel you're grieving in. You could feel the loss or the grief, as we said, of opportunities lost, of loved ones that have passed on, of choices that seemed right but were wrong, as we mentioned. Grief around not speaking our truth. Grief around disappointments that we had. Grief around the expectations that we had that didn't come forward. Grief around not loving ourselves. Grief around not feeling that we're in communication with the divine. And so all of these things and more, and you have your own list of grief around relationships that aren't the way you want them to be now. Grief around not having enough money. Grief around not having the right job. Grief around feeling that you're trapped and you can't follow your bliss. And there's so many people right now that are really grieving their lot in life. They're grieving the loss of their job and money and status. And there's, so this grief can really have a stronghold. However, the way to neutralize this and the way to move forward out of the grief is to truly begin to list the different areas of grief and continue to list them until you can't think of anything else. And as you list the grief, and once you have it all down, it's going to be important to go back over that list and ask yourself this question. Is this grief the truth? Is it a story I've told myself, or is it a lie? So the idea here is that our grief, the various areas that we're grieving, may in fact be stories we've told ourselves about things that have no truth. The various areas that we're grieving may be lies that other people have told us that we're grieving about, or expectations that are not true. So, for example, if someone expected not the best from you, but would tell you that you weren't any good, or that you needed constant help, or you'll never amount to anything, that is a comment that you would grieve because you never got that person's approval. But if you look at that piece, you have to see where it, number one, is the story. Number two, it is a lie, because it's not about anybody else's expectations. That's just their opinion. But you have to list these things, and you have to decide, is it truth, is it a story, or is it a lie? And is it a lie that I've heard from someone else, or is it a story or a lie I've told myself? And so once you sort them out, and you have to look at each one, we also want to look at how these aspects of this grief are controlling our life. Because we need to really know and understand that we can no longer allow someone else's stories, or even our own stories, or someone else's lies, or our own lies, to control our life. We have to sort those out. When we sort those out, we can then neutralize them. Now, we have some real grieving, like, for example, a loved one dies and is no longer on the planet. That's a grief that we truly feel helpless around. We feel totally out of control to change that. We feel totally helpless in bringing that person back, because it makes no difference if it was their time to leave. It makes no difference if they're always there in spirit. Yes, those are truths, but they are just not comforting enough to our hearts if we're still in the midst of grieving. And many times that helplessness of being able to change the situation creates anger within us. And that anger is what then turns to the depression. So we want to really sort these things out and begin telling ourselves the truth. Now, I know that if you've been listening a few times here, the subject of telling ourselves the truth has come up. But it's very important in these days that we really look at the areas of our life that are being controlled by our beliefs, by our stories, by the lies, because every time we look at these issues, we discover more about why we're not able to manifest what we truly want. You know, people are curious about why the secret or the law of attraction doesn't work. It's because many times we're holding this grief or this helplessness about any type of change. And it also has a lot to do with your own self-worth. You know, if you walk around and you're grieving these lost opportunities, and you're in a state of feeling less than, or that you haven't done your best and therefore you feel guilty, that's a grief. That's an area of grief. And it's very hard to manifest when you're in the midst of that feeling. So sorting these things out is absolutely key to being able to clear our consciousness and then move forward. You know, many times people will, I mean, there's been, you know, I keep searching, not only through the Akasha, but also the Akashic records lead me to books that are interesting around manifestation. And they lead me to looking at different points of view. And the bottom line is, since the beginning of time, since the Bible was written, all right, this, the idea of believing that it's true to be able to manifest it has been around. So it's nothing new. The secret or this law of attraction is that has been touted and talked about has been talked about for eons and eons. It's just packaged in a different way. And this is not a criticism of this information by no means, because every time you hear something from someone, they have brought forward information that either you or someone else needs to hear in that way. So repackaging of information is never something to criticize. It's something to look at, because if you can't get it one way, you get it another. And that's important. You know, sometimes somebody can say something to you over and over and again, and for whatever reason it doesn't compute, you don't get it. And somebody else can say the exact same thing differently, and all of a sudden the light turns on. And you understand it. And so there's nothing, you know, it's really important to search out these different philosophies, even though they are very similar. But in many of the books, they'll say that the subconscious doesn't know the difference between reality and making it up, and that by when you believe it's true, you open it up to the universe. It is true, and that does happen. And feeling it and seeing it manifest is absolutely true. And it happens over and over again. But I would like to share with you that if for some reason that's not working for you, it's very important for you to look at the areas, for example, where you're grieving, where you're feeling blocked, where you're feeling not deserving. I was working with a client, and there happened to be something going on with her eyes. And what the record keeper said, and by the way, I normally forget everything I say during a consultation, but in this particular case, the record keepers are bringing this back as an example for you. So, as we were going through the different areas, she was fully convinced that she felt deserving. Fully convinced that she felt deserving, and that she she felt that she'd read all the books about manifesting, but every time she would read some of those books about manifesting, she would get angry. And the reason she would get angry is because she doesn't understand, okay, or didn't understand, that anger was actually blocking her manifestation. Now think about that. And then the record keepers went on to show her the different areas of negativity she was still holding for things that had happened in the past that she hadn't let go of. Things that she was still holding anger around. Things that she felt helpless around. And what she realized is that the problems with her eyes were being manifested by the things she could not see or refused to see. And yes, they caused her grief. Grief of loss. Grief of loss of eyesight. And so I'm encouraging you to take a look at these different areas that you feel blocked in. And I would like you to notice that areas that you feel blocked in also cause you anger, cause you to feel less than, cause you to say, well, if I'm so spiritual, why can't I get this? And then just notice the spirit that's behind that. Notice the intention or the feeling that's behind it. Now, this is not about lying to yourself, by the way. This is not about being a Pollyanna. And it's not about moving into a place where you lie to yourself and say, oh, everything's wonderful and I feel great. Oh, yes. And inside you're dying and angry. No. This is not about saying one thing and meaning another. No, my darlings, that's not what this is about. What this is about is beginning and to take baby steps of telling yourself the truth about what you're angry at you for, what you're angry at the universe for, what you're angry at God for, what you feel helpless with, what you can't control. All of these things cause immense grief. And many of them our stories and lies that we have told ourselves, either to make ourselves feel better or to excuse the people or because it was somebody else's opinion. But it's about really sorting that out and looking how those pieces are controlling our life. Now, once you get those things down about how they're controlling your life and why you feel that they're real or they're not real or true or not true, you can release the things that are no longer true. You can. That's probably another show, but because that takes some meditation, it takes some private time. It takes some individual work, not only by yourself, but it also, you know, with someone that can help you through that. That's something that we could do during a counseling session with the Akasha. We have a consultation, and if you were able to come to the consultation with this information, you would be so much more ahead. Because then the record keepers could then move into and help you go to an even deeper place of truth so you can then really move forward in releasing that which no longer serves you. And so just to get packed for a moment about the part that is of losing someone that you love, who who leaves the planet before you do. That's hard. It's very hard. And there's sometimes just no way that you can really release that grief other than just time. And sometimes even time doesn't release it, because it's always going to be a sadness. It's always going to be a loss there. And the only thing I can tell you about that, and this is from my own personal experience, is that when you come to a point where you're not too raw from the loss, you can begin to look at the gift of having that wonderful being in your life. Whether it was a human being or an animal being, or even a part of yourself. Because, as some of you may know, my first husband died when my children were 16 months old, 3 and 6. That was in 1978. I was 30 years old. And he was the love of my life. I was lucky enough to meet a man, and I am now married to him. And he is a wonderful man, and I love him. But you know, there's always, but you can't replace loves. They're never replaceable. Love is different with different people because they have different energy. But it takes a while to neutralize that wound of losing someone. That part I can't control. But what I can control and what I can do is be grateful for the time that I had with him. And I can be grateful for the beautiful children that we had together. And I can be grateful that it was his turn to leave first, because had he not left when he did, my life would have gone a whole different way, and I probably wouldn't be talking to you right now. I mean, everything happens, it truly does happen for a reason and purpose. There is a lesson in everything that we have, and I say lesson loosely in the fact that there's a higher element of information that we can glean from the events in our life. And even the most horrendous things have gifts of knowledge that once we're ready to look, we can find. The key is to find out, or to allow ourselves the time to grieve, and then begin to look back at the gifts that were given to us. And it's very hard to look back sometimes, because there are certain things in life that are clearly, clearly hard and clearly make no logic or sense, have no sense to it that we can come up with. But that doesn't mean that there aren't gifts of information there. It doesn't mean that we can't glean a gratitude for an experience. Or if not for the experience, the fact that we survived the experience, and for whatever reason it gave us the motivation to move into a more expanded view of life. And so I would love to hear from some of you who decide to do this exercise. And if you want to call me, if you want to do that exercise this week, and then call me next week with your information, and want to work through some stuff, I'm happy to do that on the air. And I'd love to hear some comments if you'd like to give a call. Love to hear from you. Always love to hear from you. Always love to hear your beautiful voices in comments or in questions. And so you can call 888-815-9756, and you won't have to wait because we've got a few lines here. So if there's more than one caller, we've got five lines coming in now. And you can call from anywhere in the world at 800 number. It's not going to cost you anything. By the way, our country, I don't know how country codes work with 800 numbers, but our country code is 011. Not quite sure how that works, but 888-815-9756 is the number. And if you want to email me directly, that's great. You can email me at info, I-N-F-O, at akashicwisdom.com. That's A-K-A-S-H-I-C, wisdom.com, just like the show, Akashic Wisdom. And anyway, so I also, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter. Twitter is interesting, you know, you've got all these people talking about what they're doing. It can get a little, I think I would love to have a Twitter page for philosophical talk, you know. It's interesting to hear that people are going to a baseball game, but I would just love to have, like, just a Twitter page just for philosophical motivational talk. I think that would be kind of fun. I wonder how to do that. I'm new to this social marketing kind of business, but, you know, so if somebody knows a little bit about that, that would be great. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what's coming up. We've got some events coming up. I have the event coming up on June 2nd. You have to email me, and that's the Prosperity teleconference. It's $27, and if you email me and say you would like to be a part of that, I will email you back a PayPal invoice, and that's how you pay for that, and that's 2 hours. And I will also be taking questions on that you can email that we'll be covering for that 2 hours. But basically, we're going to be talking about techniques, and we're going to be talking about ways to manifest. We're going to talk about new discoveries that we've made around neutralizing old belief systems, similar to what we just talked about, but even more in depth. And so it's going to be an interesting talk. So that's going to be June 2nd, and there's going to be two of them, by the way. So it's going to be from 7 to 9 Eastern, and then it's also going to be 7 to 9 Pacific. So there'll be two. So, for example, if you're in the Eastern time zone and you can't make it to the 7 o'clock one on Eastern, you can make it at 10 o'clock, which will be, it's really 10 o'clock Eastern for the Pacific time. So there's something for everybody coming up, and would love to have you on. The more the merrier. We also have workshops, level one workshops, level two workshops coming up. The weekend before Father's Day, I want to say it's the 13th, 14th, and 15th. I hope that's a Saturday and Sunday. And of all things, I don't have my calendar in front of me, but I know that it's that weekend. We have a level one and a level two going that weekend here in Cleveland, and you can definitely sign up for that, get your early registration discount, and give me an email on that. Well, I'll send you some information. And easy lodgings right around where Nana's house is, where the workshops take place. And they're not huge workshops. I really only like maybe 10 to 12 people tops in the workshops, so we can give individual attention. So and they're all affordable. And that's because the idea of this work is that the more people who can learn how to open their own personal Akashic records and use the Akashic records for the depth of information that came through just a moment ago as you were hearing, as well as the depth of information, if you were listening to the show last week, you would hear the definition of soul, which was very profound. I have no idea what I said. I've actually got to go back to the archives and listen to it. But I was told by a couple of different listeners that I could actually use that as a meditation, and I thought that was a great idea. So keep that all in mind, and let me just get back to the inbox here for questions. But if you'd like to discuss more about grief, that is just fine. Okay. Okay. So, let's see here. Okay. So, we have Barbara sending in a question, and what she'd like to know is how to open up herself. She said, "What I need to know, what do I need to know to let myself open up to my self-trust and developing my intuition and healing ability?" Now, what Barbara did is that she emailed me again at info@akashicwisdom.com, and she gave me her current legal name so that I can actually move into that space now. And so part of this is interesting because I don't normally go there, but what's coming up for you, Barb, is Barbara, there's an aspect to this lifetime around self-trust and intuition and healing that was cut short in a past life. In fact, it was like this particular lifetime is about developing self-trust, not just in developing your intuition and healing ability, but this is about developing self-trust because it was cut short in a past life, and in this particular lifetime, you chose parents that actually gave you that helped you not trust yourself. And what I'm hearing is the household you grew up in, they were not honest with their feelings. And because they were not honest with their feelings, you learned early not to trust your intuition. And so what's going on here is it's really about starting to document what you feel. You really, in order to be able to start trusting yourself, you have to start documenting what you feel and then noticing when you're right and when you might be off. Because what goes on here is it's about really knowing you. There's also been other things in your life where you thought you were using your intuition, but it really wasn't your intuition. It was more an ego based on somebody else's opinion. And so it's really from this point forward going to be important for you to begin a very, very conscious discernment about where in your body you feel the information is coming from or where the knowing is coming from. And the best way to know whether it's a strong, true intuition or a part of an ego, okay, or a part of a mental should, if you will, quote unquote, is that when you have a knowing, you have a knowing. It comes right through from your basically your heart and your solar plexus. It's an all over knowing that you're right. When you're coming from an ego or from a mental or from a quote-unquote should, you have a tightness in your throat, as if and it's a feeling of anxiety. When you have the feeling of anxiety, you're not in alignment with your intuition. And that's for everyone out there. When you feel an anxiety in your throat, that and you're shaky, about whether you're right or you're wrong, that you really need to step back and then move that, almost like take your hand from your throat and take that energy and move it aside and see if the intuition is still there without the feeling of anxiety. And see if there's a calmness that you feel. Strong intuition, truthful intuition, creates a calmness of a knowing. It's I know that I know. And so that's what you need to start looking for in your own life so that you can begin to discern the difference between one energy and another. And as far as your healing ability is concerned, it's just a matter of really moving into loving the idea of allowing your hands to flow and allow the energy of love to flow through your body and out your hands. See, part of this issue around intuition and healing ability it's the fear of being wrong. And that fear of being wrong is what's really stopping you in a lot of areas. So just know that. Know that it's really about becoming more conscious about where the feelings of the information come from. And I hope that was helpful for you. I hope that was very helpful. And I hope that our friend who wanted to know about grief was helped with this information. Yeah. So I'd like to tell you a little bit about CDs that I have. I have limited editions. But I do have my CDs that are available now. The CDs are, one of them are, it has to do with the Remembering Your Magnificence. That's about remembering home. And there's another one on forgiveness. And that's the record keeper's called an audio workbook for you to journal with on forgiveness. And there's also a message of forgiveness from the Akasha on that. And then the last one is the Wisdom Place, and it has three different meditations to help you actually access your own personal guidance move to the Wisdom Tree. But there's more than just one. There's three different actual meditations for you to access your guidance for different areas. Now, this is not necessarily accessing the Akashic Records, it's accessing your guidance. However, all of these CDs are brought forward from the Akasha. So I opened up my records. The record keepers suggested that I do each one. They asked if I'd be willing to. And when I said I would, they brought forward the information that right there on the spot at the studio. So in most cases, I didn't know what I was going to say before I said it. Interesting stories on all three of those. But they're yours. There are three for $40. They're $18 each, or three for $40. And the shipping is $6. So you would, and I just send them out, and you receive them. So you can send a check to me, and you can just send it to my post office box of 22951. That's Beechwood, Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio, 44122. And you send it to Donna Fox. And that'll work. And that's who you make the check out to. And I will send them right on. Again, I have a limited number. So I'm actually looking for a duplicating house. So if anybody knows about a CD duplicating house, the one that I was working with went out of business. That's why I only have a limited number. So I'm looking for one. So if you know anybody who does duplicating, four CDs. I'd love to talk to you or have you talk to us. That'd be great. Oh, I also have to tell you about Life Path Travel. That's LifePath travel.com. So if you're planning on traveling this summer, you should really go up on that website. They have really good prices for airlines or whatever you love. So, okay. Gee, did I hear somebody else come on the line? Is there somebody there? I guess I didn't. You guys are quiet tonight. Maybe you're out partying or picnicking, or California still be able to picnic, but here in Cleveland it's dark. It's close to midnight. Yes, midnight. How many of you sometimes wake up around 3 o'clock in the morning or 3:30 in the morning? You ever do that? Boy, I do it all the time. It's like I wake up, it's 3:30 in the morning, and these wonderful messages come from my guide. And again, you know, we have those kind of things happen to us all the time. Okay, hello, we have a caller. Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Ken.
Hi, Ken. Where are you calling from?
Tallahassee.
Tallahassee, Florida?
Yes.
Okay. How can we help you tonight, Ken?
We've got a really strange, a lot of things going wrong in our life lately, and I'm pretty sensitive, and I've been picking up a lot of blank spaces where memories just go blank, thoughts go blank. I wonder if there's anything you can tell me about that.
So what you're saying is you have blank spaces in your life that you can't recount?
No, in the moment where I'll be describing something to you or talking to you, I'll go blank. My memory will go blank. And at the same time, the problem that we have that's paramount in our lives is my brother is having a lot of life troubles, and we're trying to keep him going. We've done it for several years, and now he's just going down faster and faster every day. It seems like not taking care of himself and stuff.
Well, the first thing that comes forward from the records, Ken, is that the stress that you're under is causing. First of all, there's a massive amount of stress in your life, as you just expressed, but there is also that there's an aspect that you're going through some sleep apnea. Has anyone ever told you that?
Oh yeah, I'm on a CPAP machine, and
right. When's the last time you had your CPAP machine checked?
It wasn't too long ago. As far as I've had it for several years, and I've had a mini stroke before, and I have sleep apnea, and I don't really. I've had the CPAP checked a few times, and it's been adjusted, and it seems to be okay.
Well, what I'm hearing though, and I don't know you. This is the first time you've called in, isn't it?
I called you some time ago, and I never did get back to you to call you. You said to call you.
About a year or more ago, right?
Right.
Yeah, but I'm saying is that the reason I'm saying that is because when the record keepers, obviously, I don't know you. I didn't know that you had sleep apnea. The record keepers are saying that there's something going on with your sleep apnea that's causing the blanks in your thought process.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And so it also has, and they're also talking about that you need to really look at your diet, because if you're not diabetic, you need to have that checked.
We've been checking that all along, and I've been switching to juicing a lot.
Okay.
And I did just stop drinking diet drinks, which meant that I'm now drinking sugar soda, but I cut them with seltzer to make them less sweet.
Right, but you have to understand, it depends on how much you're drinking. It what I'm hearing is your blood sugar is going wacky.
Oh, okay. We can check that. We have a meter.
Okay. And so the idea here is it's really going to be important. And this is all health related. Okay. It has to do with stress, your CPAP machine, and it has to do with your blood sugar.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And so that's why you're going blank. Okay, is because it's a kind of a red flag from your body, because when you've got that much energy going through and there's that much stress, it's almost like for that moment that you can't remember, it's almost like you check out for a moment and come back again.
Yeah,
and so the other, say again?
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's really going to be important, too, regarding your brother, that there's only, you have to realize that he's on his own contract. And control has been always an issue between you and him. Is that right?
Well, he's always looked up to me, and he's always felt very insignificant, it seems like.
But what's the control factor as far as you're concerned with him?
Well, we were fairly successful, and he's not. He's unemployed right now, got evicted, he smashed his truck, he's living from day to day on unemployment compensation, waiting for it to run out. And he's not really being careful about himself. He's drinking too much. That's kind of the way it's going.
But he has to deal with his own anger his own way.
Yes.
It's almost like you're still treating him like a child.
Yeah.
And so the idea here is that he's in his 40s, right?
50 something.
Okay. But the idea here is that you can only rescue for so long. And there's like, why are you letting, it's something that you, here's a question that you need to look at, okay? Just take
yes.
take consider this. Why am I letting my brother control my life?
Right, we would like to know that.
Yes, but you have to. That's what you have to answer, because it's not a spiritual question. It's an emotional question. I mean, it does have some spirit leanings to it. Obviously, you have a contract with your brother. That's what the record keepers are saying is it has to do with what are you getting out of helping him constantly.
We're trying to do the Christian thing, and we got him on his feet, we brought him from Chicago where he wasn't doing well, and he did well here for several years, even though he still had that lifestyle. And just now he lost his job, and he had health problems, and he wants to go on disability. He depends on us, and for kind of his emergency backup, and we just can't do it anymore.
Right. And so the idea here is really when he's sober, you have to have a discussion with him about telling him that you can't do it anymore. Because the consequences, and there was like, this is kind of like time for tough love, even though that's so hard. But the idea here is what I'm hearing is he has a lot of strength within him, and it's really about supporting him when he is behaving in a way that warrants supporting him. There was like, it's almost like raising a kid, you know. And so this is, it's all. Have you gone to counseling about how to help him?
We've talked to different people who are counselors. We really would like to know an official way to get it. He just never would go to any program or anything. It would be just finding advice for ourselves.
Well, that's what you're going to need. It's like there's nothing wrong with you guys going to Al-Anon to find out how to handle him.
Okay.
You see, because going to Al-Anon, you're going to hear stories and you're going to hear people that will help. I mean, and if you can afford to go to a counselor that will support you in working with him in the best way you can, that creates a way that he can feel. There's a part. What I'm hearing is, and again, I don't know your brother's name, but as it relates to you, there is a part of him that feels so helpless and so worthless that the way he tries to stop that is by drinking.
Right.
And so I don't know what they're not. I can't get into his records. Like obviously, I don't have his permission. But there's something that goes on that's making him feel so worthless. And what I'm hearing was a past event that he either created or didn't react properly, or something happened that he was that he is still beating himself up for. And so, or maybe there are multiple events, I don't know. But what I'm saying is it's really about you taking control of yourself and the way you treat him by not enabling him to feel worthless anymore.
Okay. His father has, from the get-go, not accepted him a long time ago because he was the lifestyle he picked. And I also have been down that road a little bit, and I was homeless for a while. So he kind of feels closer to me because of those things.
Right. But you were able to get yourself out of being homeless, weren't you?
Right. I joined the Army.
Well, he's a little old to join the Army. That's not going to work.
But, I joined it when I was 25.
Yeah, see, the issue here, though, Ken, has to do with you really moving into about you getting help to be able to understand how to best help him. Because you can no longer do it by yourself. And you know, and quite frankly, you don't have to financially support him. It's going to be more important that you emotionally support him in a healthy way.
Even if it means he's going to be on a street corner?
Yes.
Okay.
The idea here is, but don't. What you need is for someone to help you understand and how to talk to him about that so he understands what the consequences are. You just don't pull the rug out from underneath him. You have to talk to him when he's sober so you can give him choices and he can make choices for himself. And when he doesn't make the choices that serve him, then he has to take care of the consequences. But again, you need help to do that.
Right.
And going to Al-Anon would help you?
Help us. Are we running out of time?
What?
Are we running out of time?
Yeah, we really are. So you may want to call me privately so we can talk.
We can't really afford that right now to pay for a session, but I really appreciate your time. And we are going to help us.
Yes, you have to go ahead and look into how you're going to help yourself. You have to look into how you're going to help you be able to support him emotionally. And if you can't afford a counselor, then go to Al-Anon and see what they have to say. There'll be people that'll help you there.
Yeah, I believe I could support him emotionally if I didn't have to support him every other way.
Of course. You're just tired. You're spent, and you've got the other health issues going on.
Right.
Okay?
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Ken. You be well.
Okay, thanks.
All right, take care, hon.
Talk to
you
later.
All right, keep listening. Thank you for listening.
Okay, thank
you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, it's time for us to close the show. So I want to thank you all for listening. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. I hope you remembered what you needed to remember about the parts of you that are no longer serving you. And I hope that you take the advice or the information from the record keepers about how to handle your grief. We all have it. And it can help everyone to go through this process. So I'm going to close the show for tonight. I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones of all these wonderful beings of light that are listening. I ask that their hearts be opened, their burdens be lifted, and may we all look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records for the Akashic Wisdom Internet radio show by saying amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. If you'll all join me in saying amen. Have a miracle-filled week, and I'll be here next week talking to you. I love you all. Have a great one. Bye-bye.